We started last time talking about the hundredfold blessing. It's our prayer meeting series, and it's a foundation for proper prayer. And we're going to continue it today. And as I go on, okay, let's read a few scriptures, and then you will see what's very important for us to note in this. First of all, let's read from the book of Luke. Let's read our main text, which is Mark chapter 4. We'll read that, then we'll go to the book of Luke chapter 11. Quickly, let's read Mark chapter 4. I will rush this because we have read it severally, and we all know it very well. I will start with the interpretation. From verse 3, Jesus gave us the parable of the sower, which we all know. And in verse 8, he says, "Among the seed that bore crop," he said, verse 8, "other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up and increased. They yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold." Then he began to give the interpretation in from verse 14. The sower, he says, sows the word. And then in verse 15, you see the ones that Satan came and took away quickly because they did not have any understanding. And then you go on down into verse 19, where he talked about the people that had the thorns choking the things that was sown in their heart because of the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. And these things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And in verse 20, he talked about those who bore proper fruit. And those are the ones we are interested in this our teachings. He said, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Now, the problem we have is why there are different levels of fruit bearing. He said there's a level of 30-fold, there is a level of 60-fold, and there's a level of 100-fold. And these are our teachings. We are trying to see what makes somebody produce 60 and another person 100, while somebody is producing only 30-fold. And I said if we read from the context, we can see that the difference was not in the word, the quality of the word. The difference was in the quality of what? The heart of the people hearing. There were some hearts that were so hard, they had no understanding. That one, the thing didn't even start to work at all. And in some hearts, certain things were already inside the heart before the word came. And that's what they call the deceitfulness of riches, the loss of these things, and all other things, choking in the word, and did not bear any fruit. But then, those are not our emphasis. Our emphasis is on this group of hearts that bore fruit because it was good soil. But we said there are different levels. Is that okay? So there must be, since we saw those ones, there must also be variations in the degree of goodness of the various hearts, which is why some will be only 30-fold, some will be only 60-fold, and some will be 100-fold. And I said something to you, this is my personal opinion, and you are free to disagree, but I feel that, and I think it makes sense, that they are not just 3-fold. I mean, they are not just 3 different groups of folds. They're not just 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I think they are just prototypical examples, all right? So I believe, this is my opinion, there's 5-fold, there's 10-fold, there's 2.6-fold, all right? And there is 90-fold, all right? But just to let us know that there are different kinds of degrees of fruit bearing, I believe that's why the Lord gave us 60, 30, 60, and 100. What's the purpose of this, our teaching and then our prayers, is to bring ourselves from the low food level to the 100-fold level, all right? And that's what I want us to bear in mind. It depends on us. It does not depend on God. Are you getting my point? I wrote that tract titled, "Are We All Equal Before God?" And that's what I discussed to an extent in that tract. That no, people are not equal before God. They are not. Let's not fool ourselves. We may have been created equal, but as we grew up, we began to change in the amount of importance we have before God. And I like to say this all the time. When the servants of Job were killed, they called them temptation for Job. That is, you killed somebody as to tempt another person. And you think they are equal. They cannot be equal. You killed Job's servants together with his flock and his houses. And you said this is tempting Job. What about those men? Did they not have wife and children? David sinned. 70,000 men died. Not one that we are aware of in the house of David. Even David had to shout and say, "What's going on here? I was the one that sinned, not these people." What does that tell you? They're not the same level. People are not the same level. The difference, however, is not that God created somebody high and another person low. Each person chooses where he wants to be as far as God is concerned. And the amount, you know, I said before that everything has value. Spiritually, we have value, all right? Like, monetarily, we put naira value to things. Spiritually, there are values also in the realm of the spirit. And a person's value in life is determined by the amount of obedience he gives to the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, God looks at you. If you have a high regard for his word, then you are highly esteemed in his presence. In fact, the angel appeared to Daniel after Daniel prayed. He said, the first day you began to pray, you were heard. He said, I've been sent to come and give you understanding. Reason, he said, because you are highly esteemed. That tells you something. Some men are of low esteem as far as God is concerned. Are you getting my point? So we may think that we're all human beings. We're all the same before God. It's a lie. It's a big, fat lie. People are so different before God. You know, just as we are different in height and in complexion. Now, so we did different, all right, in spiritual qualities and in esteem. God can kill 1 million people to save the life of one person that's precious in his sight. Did you hear what I said? God can kill 1 million people to save the life of one single person who is precious in his sight. Your job and my job, all right, is to make sure that we are the single, you know, that person that God will jump over multitudes. You see the eye of the Lord running to and fro the whole earth, looking for where to exercise power. Of the billions of people, he's still looking for where to exercise power. He said, this is the kind of person, the person whose heart is perfect towards me. It's the quality of the heart. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It's the quality of the heart. It depends on us. That's what this series is about. What do I do, all right, to move from one level to another, okay? That's just as a way of a reintroduction and reviewing where we, some of the things we said. All right, let me say another thing that we said last time. We began to talk about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's quickly go there and read that one again before we go into the new ones that we are going to read today. We read from verse 14, we went into chapter 5 and ended, today we'll go over it again around to verse 3. It said from verse 14, I'm not going to read this in full, but let me take a step back. Well, I didn't say this last time, but let me go backward a little bit. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 4, or in fact into chapter 3, you will see from the earlier parts of chapter 3 that in this book of Hebrews, we are told about the importance of obedience to the word of God. All right? The importance of what? Obedience to the word of God. And that's why he kept on explaining that God gave a word, but did not profit some people because of the degree, or that is, because their heart was not united by faith with that word. That is, the word was not important. It was their faith that was not there. Now, you see something here, that it was their heart that was a fault, just like we have been saying, not the word. Now, so you see, as it was going on, in that place, go and read it later, you see it. It was now walking through the book of Hebrew, the qualities of the word. That here you see people who the word did not bless because it was not mixed with faith in their heart. He said, then you see that this word was not faulty. It was the faith in their hearts. Are you getting my point? He said, because the word is powerful. That's why he finally got down to that in verse 12. He said, of chapter 4, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and all of that. This is what I want you to understand here. He was describing the power in the word. Before this, he had emphasized on the fact that they did not unite with that word by faith in their hearts. Therefore, they were not able to enter into rest. And he was saying there remains a rest for the people of God. That's why he now told about the power of the word of God. So he said, let us be careful, therefore, to be sure that there's not found in any one of us the evil heart of disobedience. Are you getting the point? Now, please, that one is very important. He said, we must be sure, verse 11, let's be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall from following the same example of disobedience, because the word of God is this and this and that. They now went ahead. Now, this is where I'm going. Where we are right now is to show them, which is why we are doing this teaching, what to do. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying? So that you will not find in you the evil heart of disobedience. I hope you are getting my point. I drew everything from Hebrews chapter 3. It talked about some people who the world came. The world did not bless them. Are you getting my point? Why did the world not bless them? Because of the evil heart of what? Disobedience. And he said, let us be sure that that same thing doesn't happen to us. Why? How are we going to do it? And that's what we began to analyze. That there are procedures. I explained that last time. That Jesus, let me say it again. Jesus did not just walk above sin because he was incapable of sinning. If that was the case, then it would not be a valid temptation. How can you say he was tempted in the same way as I am being tempted? If it was not possible for him to sin. Are you getting my point? Now, but the Bible says even though it was possible, yet he did not sin. And there is a method, and that's what we are discussing. I'm just going over what we said before. That method is what we are looking into. There's something I wanted to use to explain to you. The difference between 30, 60, and 100-fold, which I mentioned earlier. Let me say it. Can you remember the story of the wife of a prophet who the husband died and went to meet Elisha? All right? And said, your servant, my husband, is dead. And it was somebody who feared God. And now the creditors have come to take our two sons. Is that okay? All right. And what did he say? What do you have in your house? And the woman said, I have nothing but just this jar of oil. And I said, okay, go borrow jars from everywhere. All right? And then borrow not a few, like in James there. And then lock yourself and begin to pour. You know the story. And then she began to pour the jar until, pour from the jar, pour the oil, until the last jar was full. And the son said, bring me another jar. And the boy said, there's no other one. And then the Bible said that the oil stopped flowing. Now let me ask you a question. If she had had a bigger house and borrowed more jars, would the oil have continued to flow? Yes, most certainly. Yes. All right? I want to bring out something here. The degree of oil she got was directly dependent on the intensity of her faith in the word of the prophet. If she had totally believed the man, she won't start pouring that oil until she has first rented a new house. Are you getting my point? Bought jars on credit. Borrowed the rest. Do you get my point? Until her house become Niger Delta. For the degree of oil that will be flowing. Are you seeing my point? Was she blessed? Yes. Was there greater blessing? Yes, available. But did she get a greater blessing? No. The degree of her faith was not determined where the oil stopped. Are you getting my point? It was not the ability of the oil to flow. Alright, so you see, what we are trying to do here, that's what we're talking about, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, is to bring ourselves to a level, alright, where next time Elijah speaks, we will tell the man, say, wait, hold the anointing, we are coming. Are you getting my point? Yes. He will borrow and borrow and borrow a house first. So you know what I mean, you join houses to each other so you have space for the jazz. It appears like it's our capacity to receive God's blessing that he pours to fill. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold is a preparation of the heart that determines whether you are going to receive 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Please, I hope that is clear. All right, I hope you've gotten the point. All right, there's a scripture I want us to read to explain. What I want to bring up today is, let me put it like this, the most important functions of prayer. That's what we're going to see today. This is our 100-fold blessing matter. Quickly go to the book of Luke, chapter 11. The book of Luke, chapter 11. This is the lecture the Lord gave on how people should pray. One of the disciples, the Bible says, towards the end of verse 1, said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He said, give us each day, this is Luke's account, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. All right? Now, if you read, this is not the one I wanted to read, but let's just stop here, all right? Now, if you read another account, maybe like in the book of Matthew, it tells you, and deliver us from evil. That's the word I was going to read out to us. It talks about delivering us from evil. Please bear that one in mind. Then again in verse 5, it says, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, the door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. He said, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Please notice the word persistence. Then I said to him, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Now, please, I want to just stop here and explain what I call the true functions of prayer briefly. Now, there are 2 things I want to bring out from here. Number one, Jesus talked about praying for yourself, okay? Then from verse 5, he began to pray, teach about how to pray for other people. Did you notice that? Because the parable he gave was that, assuming that somebody had a friend who came and he said, lend me 3 loaves, all right? Why? Because a friend of mine has come at night. Are you getting my point? A friend of mine has come from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. You notice that the reason why he's disturbing himself is so that he might be a blessing to somebody else. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Now, that's one. That's the second one. The first one was what Jesus said concerning praying about yourself. Okay? And I want you to please bear those 2 points in mind. We are going to come back to them as we go on. And please, if you have not read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I recommend you read it. Now, please, bear these two things here in mind, and then go to one last scripture, upon which I will say most of the things I want to say, and then we will pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me be quick now. This introduction is getting too long. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you to be by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He said, I who am meek, when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. I ask that even when I am absent, I may not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some, who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, please, emphasis from verse 3 here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. King James says strongholds. Now, please, what are we destroying? Verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Please, let me stop there. What I want to bring out is the fact that he said that this is what we are doing. And there are 2 stages, okay, to this assignment. First, we first take care of your own obedience, that is, the believer's obedience. Is that okay? Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. Now, I think I've finished reading the scriptures I want to read. I can now start talking. Remember what I said last time, that the greatest fear I personally have in life is to live through life and not fully experience the power that God has planned for my life and not fully achieve what God wanted me to achieve in life. Are you getting my point? As per blessing the people of God, as per fulfilling His will for my life. That's what I mean. For me, it's very, very crucial that I fully execute the will of God for my life. For me, that's the main thing. That's my main thrust in life. That's the main thing that's pushing me. Now, I said something to us, which I'm continuing now, that the reason why people don't do the will of God is usually because of certain strongholds that are inside their heart. Are you getting my point? It's because of, let me use the word, impurities in the heart. That's why we don't fully do the will of God. We have read many scriptures. I won't read now. I'll just keep talking. All right? Now, that's why in the book of Hebrews that we read, it was explained to us that some people, because of the degree of impurity in their heart, they were not able to enter into rest. And he said there was a way that Jesus handled that. And I said to you before that, don't think that you as a person in life, you are strong. That you see, this is a mistake Christians make. They see these shortcomings, all right, in their lives. And we think that God has called us to come and struggle against those shortcomings. Listen to me. What would we do? You know, the other day, they said there was this man's name, Tiger Woods. All right? You know, he has a serious problem with his wife. And why did he have a problem with his wife? Because of, you know what I mean? What they call adultery. You know, having many girlfriends here and there. And then, you know the whole story, all right? I don't want to talk about Tiger Woods. But what now annoyed me, I said, these people of the world, they are really in trouble. They said he now checked himself into rehab for cure against sex addiction. I said, this is stupidity. The man should have knelt down and confessed the sin of adultery. That is all. I don't know whether I get my point. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Checking into rehab to have somebody counsel you against immorality is called weapon of the flesh. Now, that's where I'm going. Christians don't need all those things. What they need, and that's why you go for Bible studies, that's why you read books, is to have your heart exposed. And because you understand the danger of sin, I said, if you are like me, and the greatest fear you have in life is that you will not fully execute the will of God for your life, then every iota of sin in your life is a troublesome matter. I don't know whether I get the point. It gets you, in quote, afraid. I read from that, we didn't finish reading it just now. When we read into that Hebrews chapter 4 and into chapter 5, you see that Jesus, the Bible says he was heard in that what he feared. Are you getting my point? I said the word, the literal word there is fear. People have not been able to understand why he should be afraid. So we say that it's because of his piety. No, the word is that he feared. Certain things were important to him. Therefore, he was afraid he might lose them. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So if something is important to you and you are afraid you might lose it, you will be afraid. Are you getting my point? And that drives you to the place of prayer. I said I'm going to explain the importance, the thing that prayer does, all right? Number one thing that prayer does for us as believers is to help us overcome, listen to me, spiritual shortcomings in our lives. John said something. He said, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. As a young believer studying the word of faith those days, I used to wonder that I say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How can John say, I am lying if I say I'm without sin? I like the way John said it. He said that if you are in the light. Now, this is an important thing here. What John was saying is this. If you say you have no sin, you lie and you deceive yourself and you are in darkness. Let me tell you something. Spiritual life is progressive. Are you getting my point? That is, what is light to me today is darkness in 10 years' time. I don't know what I get. What am I explaining? Listen, what I will celebrate today as light, all right? If that is the same amount of light I'm operating by in 10 years, God looks and says, this man is in darkness. So what was John saying? If you say you are doing everything right, it is because you have rejected progress in illumination. Because if God had illuminated you further, you will have seen greater shortcomings in your life. John was not making excuses that believers should keep walking in iniquity. That was not what John was saying. Are you getting my point? No, that's not what John was saying. What John was saying was simple. That listen, if you say you are okay, I told you that was the problem with Job. Job said, I have no sin. John said, you are walking in darkness. If when Elihu illuminated him, the man suddenly felt dirty. This was the same man who was bragging about the fact that he had not done anything wrong. I hope you are following what I'm saying. What I'm saying, I hope it is clear. All right? So when John said it, okay, what he was saying is that if you step into light brighter than the one you are in right now, all right, it is not struggle or anger or discouragement. It's a simple thing. You just simply realize that I am not yet where I am supposed to be. You just get up from there, get down on your knees in prayer. And Jeremiah said, only acknowledge your iniquity. That's why John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. And next line, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. This is what I want you to understand. Before, we thought sin was that, you know, those moral sins. Hey, you looked at the woman lustfully, or you committed adultery, or you stole, or you cheated. That's all we call sin. But the Bible says, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, it is what? Until he knows to do good, it's not sin. But if he stays on one spot and does not improve in his knowledge, then that's... Look, listen. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. That is, to reject knowledge in itself now becomes a sin. But if he were to accept knowledge, suddenly he realizes that what I am doing right now is not perfect. There are businesses you are doing. God says, okay, for now, I won't say anything. Then one day I throw light on your face. Suddenly you realize that, this is not ideal as a believer. We can go to a different level. This is a mistake. Now, this is where we are doing. This is what we are doing in this series, what I'm about to say. Okay? We now say, you won't say, I won't do this again. God didn't say, if you do like that, you will be discouraged. What do? You get back on your knees. That's why Christians pray. Let me tell you this. If you need something, let me say it again. If you need something, God does not expect you to talk for more than a minute. I don't know whether I get my point. It's be a passing thing. Just say quickly, give us this day our daily car and forget it. Give us this day our daily house and forget it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you getting my point? What we use our prayers to do, persistence in prayer, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, listen to me, you don't stop, oh my God, I pray you get this point. You don't stop praying until obedience to that new level of truth becomes simple and natural to you. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, the Christian walk is progressive. What is light to you today that you are celebrating? All right? Let me give you an example. I just like to use this money thing to help. All right? Please don't be angry with me if I start like this. All right? Let us assume now that all your life they've been harassing your life about tithe and all of that. So you managed to give tithe and put 5% on top of it. And you are very proud. When you need something, you carry your tithe, that your stupid tithe booklet. And you wave it stupidly, ignorantly to God, who's just having mercy, doesn't want to kill you for nothing, for insulting him with your paper. Now look at my tithe booklet, I have given you everything. Why am I not blessed? God, no good talk. He said, Gabriel, give him small money. Are you getting my point? And you're feeling righteous and quiet with yourself. You're feeling very good. Did somebody say that your seed is above your tithe? You have put 5% on top. So you are feeling very righteous. Then when they say those who will prosper, you are feeling like you will prosper. There's no how you will not prosper. Then one day, one crazy joker like Pastor Banky shows up and he abuses you thoroughly for being self-righteous and giving 15% of your income. Then starts telling stories of men who give 90 and you are looking. Or men who don't know how to calculate. It is the need that comes first. So they give them 100 million naira. And immediately after that, they hear that there's earthquake in Haiti. They send the 100 million to Haiti. Then they give them another 50 million naira. And they hear that the gospel has to be preached. They give the 50 million. And they give them another 50 million. And they said they need a house. They buy the house. And I say, how much proportion are you giving? He said, I really don't know. Then he calculates over the last 1 year for you and discovers he's been giving 95%. Are you getting my point? Then you return to your home in shame. Are you following my point? Not that you are not able to give like him, but that you were proud of your measly 15%. I don't know whether you're following my point. Because there are people who can't give more than 15%. Look, listen, I don't want to go into money matter now. I won't leave it because I'd vex when I reach that level. All right? So let me not get there. If I say this, I hope some of you can understand. If your father pays school fees and gives you pocket money, you can't give 90%. There's no how you want to do it. Because if you give from school fees, you're a crook. If you give from accommodation money, you're a thief. If you give handout money, you are misappropriating federal funds. So, what are you going to do now? The only one you can give from is the pocket money. And if you go too hungry, your father will hear and you're in trouble again. So, what are you going to do? You just manage to squeeze from the pocket money and give small. This is what I'm going to bring out here. You see that with God, all right, there's no quarrel. He increases you, all right, as time goes on. I don't know whether you're following what I'm going to explain. That is, a time comes in which you are the one earning the money. There's no father telling you how to spend it. Are you getting the point? You can now decide that from now on I shall wear only a white shirt and a black trouser, and it's only set I will have. I will wash it in the night, wear it in the morning. He said, but you are earning a lot of money. He said, it's for the gospel. That's your problem. At that time now, you can now step up percentage-wise. I don't know whether you are following what I'm not explaining. All right? That's the beauty about Christianity. God develops your spirit. But I'm trying to explain something about darkness. You see that what was okay when you were a student, one day you finish, you leave school, then the gospel begins to make a different set of meanings. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Then you now look at it that if I operate the same principle I operated 5 years ago while I was in school, I will be a thief as far as God is concerned now. Because now I have more light. The problem, now listen to this. The problem why you may not be able to improve is that you think you graduated because of Sony Corporation of Japan, so you can buy their home theater. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You will think you got a very big job because of BMW, so you can buy one of their Tokumbo 3 series. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, listen to this. Those strongholds in the heart are the reasons why your obedience doesn't get complete. Listen, let me say this as an example. If you have saved money, as an example, after 2 years, you want to use the bike car, and you now hear somebody like me preach. There are many things I say. Some people, now let me say this to you. God will help you to understand the things I'm saying. If you go to a church and one man promises you breakthrough and collects out the money for that car from you, you will cry. Did you hear what I said? Because after 1 month, nothing will happen. After 2 months, the God who is so faithful will ensure nothing happens. After 3 months, until you repent of greed, nothing will happen. Look, I will tell you the truth. Now, what are you supposed to do normally? Now, listen, don't be impulsive in anything you are doing. If you cannot, listen to this, act upon the word of God or any truth you have come to know with utter confidence and, let me use the word, and recklessness in your heart. If you can't act on a truth with full assurance of faith, let me tell you something, don't act. If somebody still needs to wind you, I'm using that money, that car money as an example. Maybe you just feel like Jesus just said to you, give all that you have. Do you understand my point? All right? To the poor. And come and follow me. And you have other cars later. All right? And somebody's telling you, some of you, the devil is telling you, don't release it. You may not get another one. It's not the devil. It's the normal human reasoning when you want to collect my money. It's the normal human reasoning. You know, we pastors, we like to say it. That the devil says some people right now not to respond to this word. One big great guy from somewhere has showed up in town. So the second day of the great meeting, or somewhere in town, the whole of Enugu don't come. The man was saying all kinds of things. Give offering for the sin of 6 generations. Give offering for this one. When you give a cow, you will stop the offering of cow from affecting you. When they go to the shrine to offer a cow to kill you, you will offer a Mercedes Benz. The Mercedes Benz is bigger than a cow, and then it will not. A lot of rubbish anyway. So, then one day, the big man was answering, saying, some people, the devil is already telling them that this ministration is just to collect your money. He's trying to deny you of your breakthrough. In my mind, oh God, but you know the truth. Why are you calling the truth devil? You know the truth. You are just calling the truth devil. It's not devil. It's not natural. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad. Now, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that Jesus will make you laugh. The fact is that it's a natural human response. Even Jesus had that response. Baba, he is not devil. He said, will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? That you see a man who is getting, in quote, afraid. For this cause, I came to this hour. Listen to me. He did not. No, this is the point I want you to understand. And that's what I'm going to emphasize to you now. Don't take any action until your heart is fully persuaded. Because if you go and carry your car money, you say for 2 years, and give us an offering in 1 minute, you will start doing like one of my friends did recently. My friend went to another church, like not in this town, this time around. The same man I was telling you about, this one that came to town here, went to that other town, I won't tell you which town. And he went to their church. And he told them that to see the glory of God, you will do something dangerous. And this man had just bought a brand new Mercedes Benz, a rich man. So he took the car keys and used it to do something dangerous for the Lord. This is the point. This is the gist. This is the gist. Please, get my point. It is good if you can't. Now, you must understand where I'm going. When you are going to do such things, look, men do such things every day and they don't tell stories about it. Because for them, it's nothing. Listen to me. Giving a car, not forget this one of giving to God as if it's only church. You can give to somebody else. And it's nothing. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? So, please, I want to understand something. The problem is when motivation is very wrong. So, this man's case, I was talking to my friend. My friend is like one of the leaders around there. After many months, he now asked my friend, and my friend called me, who normally calls me on such things. He said, this man asked me what it means to see the glory of God. So I asked my friend, I said, why didn't you tell him to phone the man who told him to do something dangerous to see the glory of God? Why is he calling banking? Why are you two of you now conspiring to ask banking? Now me, you give motoka. Now, I'm bringing up something here. After a few weeks or months, look, he's a rich man, but whether you are rich or poor, 10 million is a lot of money. He suddenly began to ask himself, why did I do that? Okay, they said I will see a glory. Okay, maybe I'm seeing it, I can't recognize it. Oh boy, do you know how to recognize this glory? Because me, now you're getting where I'm going. That's one level. That's why I said, please, don't be in a hurry. It's not a good thing, naturally speaking, but right now I have to do all these things. Let nobody put you under pressure. You must decide right now. Right now, say, my God, I will break the back of poverty today. Right now, this is a minute. Quickly connect. It's all the rush to collect your money. I'm telling you the truth. Look, go and quote me. That's what bank said. Men are supposed to give as they have proposed. He said, must I always take 10 years to propose? No. Listen, I'm not bragging, but you know, there's a level I am in right now. I can be in a church service. All right? No, forget church service. I want to remove this from just church. Okay? And there and then, I see a need. And I just take my checkbook and tell my wife, I think we should do this. And she says, okay. And I write a check. Or if I don't have the money there, I propose in my heart that, okay, by the time I collect my salary or something, I will give this amount of money. What I mean is that I may decide without thinking ahead of time that, okay, this is a check for 50,000 towards this thing. And for me, it's proposing in my heart. I don't know whether I get my point. There are offerings you can give without having to pray. I hope you are getting my point. If it is not that level, that's what I'm telling you, then please, brethren, go and pray. I'm coming to something, though. Because if you don't, after a few months, you will be discouraged. And once you are discouraged, listen to me, you have lost all the reward attached to that offering, even if it's 50 million naira. That's your problem. Once discouragement sets in, because the Bible says, be followers of those who through faith and patience. Patience means to continually do the same thing without stopping. Do not be weary of doing good, because in due season, he said in Galatians chapter 6, you will reap your reward if you faint not. What does that mean? If you faint, you won't reap any reward. Are you getting the point this man is making? What is the point? Don't take any so-called dangerous step until your heart does not consider it dangerous anymore. If it is still dangerous, it is in unbelief. Oh, I pray you get my point. If somebody needs to wind you and use winding machine, wind you to collect something from you, you are not giving it in faith. You won't get anything. Banky told you won't get anything. Better believe me. That is why the Bible says people should exercise their gifts in proportion to their faith. Look, let me give an example. Practical things, all right? Let me use my profession. I'm a pathologist, all right? So we make diagnoses every day. Some of the diagnoses, I can make a diagnosis now. Tomorrow, the person I made it on, they have cut off his leg because of what I said. That's why I'm a pathologist. I make crucial judgments that affect people's lives. Now, every day I go to work, this is not a joke, on the average, I condemn 5 people to treatment for cancer. it's my job, yes. Because I get to the table, okay, fine, they put this like, okay, this person has a cancer, this person has a cancer. I have many, many of them. But I can point at these are cancers. And that's it. Wahala begins the person's life. This is the annoying part. I could be wrong. I pray I'm not wrong. I was trained not to be wrong. I was trained to be careful so that I won't be wrong. And this guy adds prayer to his own so that I won't be wrong. Listen to me, I have seen wrong cases before. Some, we find out after damage has been done. Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. That's why if you put too much faith in it, better put faith in God first before you go near those hospitals. If God is not with you, devil will follow the doctor into the operating room. That's why I pray that God is always on your side. All right, now, this is what I'm making. Now, listen. I have doctors who are training under me. Just before I climbed up here, one of the last phone calls I got was from one of them. All right? I'm teaching them this profession also. All right? And, even when they are sure that this is this particular kind of cancer, if they fear them to sign, I don't know whether you get my point. Because you understand the gravity of what is going on. Good enough, the setting doesn't allow them. So they have to wait for the big boss to show. But I can just walk in, take a peek, 15 seconds later, I say, okay, type this like this, let me sign. I put a signature, and I go to sleep. There are times, I see had a case like that last week. The surgeon called me and said, you said this is so and so and so. I said, yes. I'm really worried because I didn't think it was. I said, okay, no problem. We always allow that. Let's check again. I looked at him, I called him, I said, I'm sure what it is. We did all kinds of checks. I said, I'm sure what it is. That is my opinion. Do you know the interesting part? Sometimes the patients are rich and they're going to take their person, maybe the patient is very rich and they want to go for treatment abroad. They will request that I give them, that's the standard practice. Even if you come from America to Nigeria, you must bring the slides. Let our own pathologist see. Do you know when they are kind? My heart doesn't shake. Maybe the Oyinboma will say I'm wrong because I know I'm not wrong. I know what I'm saying. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. I do my job with confidence. I'm trained to reach a particular level of confidence to execute my profession. Listen, in Christianity, it is the same thing. Don't mount the pulpit and start, listen to me, brethren, and start preaching what you hear somebody else preach which you don't understand. James said you will be judged harshly. I feel sorry for a lot of people just, every opportunity, they give you a microphone, you think it's honor. Praise the Lord. It's not my turn to start preaching. When they give you a microphone, you should go and pray. Say, dear God, am I going to live long at this rate? Please, oh, anything I do not believe, may I not say it? If all you can do is get up here and say, brethren, this Bible is wonderful. Believe me, it is wonderful. Read it, you shall be well. Read it, God will bless you. If that's all you can say, say it to and go and sit down. If you want to say the one way past you, now premature death, you are begging for it. I see a lot of jokers who come up. They call themselves apostles. I came with a special revelation to liberate you out of poverty. Once it starts like that, it's a matter of money. I say, this guy doesn't want to live long. He doesn't want to live long. You know my problem? He hears somebody else preach. He doesn't know what he's saying. I'm using all of these stories to describe the issue of confidence. Let me say it again. Don't step out on water. Even if Jesus were the one that said, come, until you are sure, you can come. You know the story of Peter. You know John and Co were very smart. When they said, come, he said, Peter, you can go. We'll wait here. Let's walk on water. He said, maybe the man is coming. Hey, let him meet us here now. This boat is very safe. It's all right. Peter said, relax, relax. Just watch me. As he put leg, nothing spoiled. Just say, you're on your own. He put second leg. You know, Satan is very, very wise. You make sure you left the boat properly. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Ladies, Peter, you didn't say you bolt. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Then when the wave went like this, Peter looked like this. In 1 second, the man began to sink. Do you know the interesting part? This is what I think. Peter will go back home and we doubt whether he ever walked on that water. We say, no, those first few steps were my imagination. He won't be sure anymore. What am I going to explain? Until you are
able to confidently obey, please don't take steps in that direction. Am I telling you to disobey? No! I am telling you, once you have a sure word, you know it's the word, but your heart is trembling. Do what Jesus did. That is what disciples are supposed to do. Rush into the garden of Gethsemane, get on your knees, and don't come out of that garden until you can say to your disciples, come, let us go. I don't know where I get the point. By the time Jesus came out of the garden, listen to me, he was calm. If you are going to give your 10 million or 50 million naira car as an offering, it must be of such a level that after you have finished, you forget the car, you forget the glory, you forget the reward. Someone said, you used to have a 50 million naira car. So that one, oh, the Lord had need of it. So let's drive our Kia Picanto until we get another one. Listen, once you get home and you are reminding God, Abba God, come, let's see, we'll talk. That 25,000, you know, saying I borrow, They say if I give you, you will multiply the thing. How far now? The people who lent me the money, I begin to ask. If you do that thing once, you've lost the reward. Listen. Oh gosh. You've lost the reward. You have. That's why, my brethren, that's why I said, don't start taking steps until you can take the steps. I am not saying, please understand my thrust, my emphasis. It's not that you should not take steps. It's when you see steps are necessary to be taken, go back home and begin to pray. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen to me. If somebody says that, a man gave the money that he was supposed to use to start his business and the business broke open. Brethren, the wrongest time to give your own is that moment. It is debt you are begging for. You know I'm a preacher. I shouldn't be the one telling you this thing. I should be encouraging you so I can collect your own too. Are you? The point is that it's not necessary. You will prosper so much one day. You will see me passing. You don't understand. And you say, Pastor, please, Pastor. I was looking. I said, you forgotten me? I said, yeah, I still remember the face. That was like 8 years ago. So I didn't go. This time around, we probably are on the streets of Argentina, Johannesburg, London, anywhere, or even Abuja. I said, yes, I remember you. How are you doing? He said, sir, I'm fine. Now, this was what happened with Abraham and Melchizedek. On the spot, he said, sir, I didn't know I was going to see you here. What do I do? You tell your driver, come down. Yeah, remove where the particulars. Yeah, pack everything. Yeah, drive your guy to his house with this car. I will take a taxi from here. And that's a Maybach. $300,000. You reach that level. You understand my point? And I have prayed to you enough. I will collect it that time. Not now. Listen, that's what happened between Abraham and Melchizedek. People don't understand. They keep on make a big look. What happened to Abraham was that. And it happens to me too. My wife will testify. Look, maybe we'll go somewhere and say, this is this man. You know, one pastor came to town the other day, you know the other pastor I was telling you about. One of my friends, I said, let's go now. He said, we'll go. Then the day we're supposed to go. I call him. He didn't answer the phone. When I caught out, the guy coins the phone. And I said, why didn't you come? And I said, Banky, you know now. I did broke that time. How can we just go and see that man of God without anything? I said, I had something now. We'll have just gone together. I would not have said it was from me. I'll just say it's from the two of us. You won't know who gave what. One of the things is that both of us understood. It's called honor. The day we went to see the other man of God, so I just said he was in town. When I was going, I packed offering for pocket. He didn't know me. We had never met before. Only thing I went, hold on, sir. I'm so, I know you don't know me, but we're all from the same roots. So, after we finished this thing, I passed him an envelope. That's what happened to Abraham and Melchizedek. All these, we are thieves, chronic thieves in our soul. We are looking for how to collect from God by force. Bribery and corruption of Nigerian factor has not left your Christianity. Let's not even go into this. Let me sit on the message I'm trying to preach, okay? I'm talking about 100-fold blessing. Listen to this. I need to explain this. 100-fold blessing. Those acts of obedience, all right, that are born out of faith, if you don't do them, listen to this, you will not step into the next level of fold of blessing. Are you getting my point? You won't. But this is what I want you to understand. He said, the weapons of our warfare. Now, why won't you? Let me give an example. Let's take that man who saved for a car for 2 years, all right? And somebody demands you give an offering now, all right? Why won't he give the money? It's simple. Let's assume it's from God, all right? You know, these days in Christianity, we have a lot of problems. I don't know when you are being manipulated or you are being told the truth. Okay, so let's assume this time around it is God. It is who? God, you are sure. Or you have a strong suspicion, all right? Why won't you drop the money? Why won't you give the money out? It will be for a number of reasons. Number one, it can be because of pride. What do you mean? What I have with my own strength, I've gathered by the glory of my might, by the power of my mind, for the glory of my majesty. That is Nebuchadnezzar's spirit. It's not a lie. That's what the Bible calls a stronghold, a fortress in your heart. Or it could be that, country hard, according to who's that? That's a Lagwaja. He said, okay, I don't want to face Yankee. I won't do my business. If I drop this money, I'm not in shoe. It's called the fear of tomorrow. That's called mammon. Are you seeing the way it's going? Now, there are different reasons. This is the point I'm making. You can't just use Ogboju to overcome those reasons. You can't use counseling to overcome those reasons. Listen, be careful in life. Don't act on other people's testimonies. It is their testimony. I am warning you. All the widows that chased prophets down after the widow of Zarephath, now hunger killed them and their children. I hope you know. There are different ways God manifests. I'm just warning you now. What do testimonies do? They give you encouragement to go home and go and do what? Pray. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I'm not saying you must disobey, but I'm saying if you can't obey, you can't. Where do we get the strength to obey from? That's what we are discussing. It is the point of prayer. It's called the Gethsemane principle. When there is obedience to be executed, but there's no strength to execute it, we don't rush towards the obedience, we rush into the garden. And we don't come out until we can confidently, with absolute assurance. Listen to me. Sometimes I think, I say, God, those who don't know you, what do they do? Because I know what I do when I have problems. Me, I don't know how to speak big English in grammar or in prayer. You can ask my wife. Oh, the Lord is good. Father God, we just worship you and I give you thanks. I'm going to all this. I don't know how to. Me, I can just crawl. Eh? Nobody, my wife, no go even know. I just go to the study, go and sit down there, say, wow. Baba God, you hear so? Now, wow. What are we going to do? I start telling the whole story. Say, you can read. I open maybe on the computer. See, calculate this thing. I bring calculator. 2005 plus this. If you total out now. I don't know whether I get my point. We keep discussing. I quote the scripture to encourage myself. I quote another one. I make requests. I give thanks. I continue until, listen to me, your heart's only addressed. Nothing will happen. That was what Jesus did. He prayed. He wanted to come out. You think he came to check on the disciples? No, he wanted to come out. When he reached the gate, when he looked the road, fear catch him, that's how they come. So he told Peter, and I don't sleep. Okay, I didn't come. They went back. He pray. Say, okay, that's done. He wanted to come out. Once he saw the Roman soldier, he saw the cap of one in the distance. He said, no, I didn't come. That was why he kept on going. Sorry, God, I wish you would believe me. That's why he kept on going and coming back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We want to use Ogboju to walk on water. It doesn't work. Are you getting my point? When there is obedience, listen, there are times, let me tell you things, eh? Let me tell you things. There are times all your life you have schemed for something. Maybe they said go and work here. You decided to work here because you have planned that from here you will go to UK. 2 months before you travel. Are you getting my point? 2 months before you move. Suddenly, God has his way of doing it. He now begins to nudge you that you are not going anywhere. Listen to me. For 5 years you have been scheming. For 5 years, you have been plotting. You even will refuse to marry somebody because of this UK thing. Two, 2 months now to go in. Suddenly the Holy Spirit now comes on your case big time. So girl, oh boy, you ain't going anywhere. If you're a believer, you will know. There's this kind of unease he throws into your soul. Anytime you hear of UK, suddenly your heart starts beating 16 times faster than it was beating before. You say, what is wrong, Naba? What did happen? So I begin to come, you know, this kind of confession against God. You know what I mean? I have the spirit of fear, boldness, a sound mind. I'm not afraid in the name of Jesus Christ. The devil is devil. You yourself know it's not devil. After a while, you forget. 2 days later, and you know the response, it doesn't leave you. Instantly, you start perceiving in yourself that you're not going anywhere. You have the ticket money. There are different ways God obstructs people. There's obstruction of you collect the ticket money and pocket it and you can't reach it. There's obstruction of you collect the visa and pocket it and you can't reach it. Are you getting my point? And there is obstruction in which he doesn't collect any one of them. He wants to just make up your mind that you won't go. That's the one I'm dealing with. Even the other two, it also helps. At such times, this is what we are doing, the school of prayer. This is how believers pray. They get back and kneel down. Don't speak the tongues you practiced. There are two kinds of tongues. There is the home movie tongues that you have practiced, which Omotola Jolade Ekende can do also. Ramzi Noah can do it. That's one type. There is the one in which as soon as your knees hit the floor, you don't even know where it's coming from. Like one brother said, this one starts coming from my stomach. If that's the one that comes, speak it. Otherwise, speak it in the language you know. Say, dear God, wahala day. What do you mean by wahala? 5 years on this project. I've invested this. I was supposed to move in this particular level in this job. I refused. I came over here. I have invested. I look like a fool. I perceive in my heart, you said I should not go. But this is a plan I have had for the last 5 years as for going. I had planned to do this. And it's not only selfish care. After this one is for the kingdom. This one is for my mother. This one is for my friends. You know, you're embellished because you're a good man. You don't want to look like you're living for yourself alone. Then when you finish, you don't ever forget to add this last line. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Listen, I want to beg you. Jesus didn't stop praying that prayer after I said it once. He kept on going and coming back. Until your heart is rested in assurance concerning what you are supposed to do, don't stop praying it also. I've told this story before. Let me tell you, for those of you who have not heard. 2007, I went for a course in MD Anderson Cancer Center. That's in Houston, Texas. I'd arranged with my wife that I was going to give you the holiday of a lifetime. So I said, on my way back, you meet me in Dubai, because I flew Emirates. While I was in the US, I booked Le Méridien Dubai, a 5-star hotel. I don't want to tell you how much I'm going to pay a day. When I told my wife on the phone, we'll stay in Le Méridien, she's like, how much is it? I said, don't worry. It's only once. I mean, I've never done this before. But listen to this. Then I got a call. My dad was in hospital. He died from that sickness. Hey. How do you just... I couldn't just call my wife and say, number one, I had booked it. If I don't show up, if I cancel on time, I may save my money. If I don't... How can I even tell my wife that? Because she don't plan now. 5 full days flinging around, no children. I dropped all my children with their grandmother. She dropped all the children with their grandmother. But then I now thought. Oh, the flights were booked. Not a joke. Were booked fully. Properly. And it was rush period. This was like end of July, early August. You cancel the flight, don't get another one. But my dad is in hospital. The doctor was waiting for me to come. Let's talk. I didn't know how severe it was, but I knew he was in hospital. But he didn't recover from that illness. That was the illness that finally killed him. I thought to... I still remember I wake up at night. I was alone in the house that time. And I will pray. I will tell the Lord simply, this one, how are we going to do? I didn't know how to tell my wife that I want to... I don't know whether I get the point. At that time, I've been married for
8 years, that was the first real holiday I was going to give my wife.
Everything fitted perfectly.
In fact, it was as if God just planned this. Because my own trip was fully paid for. Not a dime did I spend on my own trip. Not one kobo. So what's, I mean, well, everything was perfect. Except that my father now fell sick. And he was in hospital. Well, you may not understand, but for me, let me tell you what happened. I cried publicly in JFK. That's John F. Kennedy Airport. That's how painful it was. What did I do? I didn't stop praying. Last minute, I still didn't know, as I got to the airport, I didn't know how to do, where do I check my luggage for? Finally, I got an email. My wife was in Lagos waiting. Strangely, Dubai denied us visas. Can you believe that? Look at you. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry goes to Dubai and comes back. I couldn't believe it. Hey! What are we going to do? By this time, my wife was packed and she was on her way to the airport. I told her, hey, she was frantic. I talked to her, calmed her down. In the back of my mind, I said, God, this is how you want to answer the prayer. Fine. Let me summarize. Let me not bore you. They granted the visas. After I stepped into Dubai, I checked my luggage for Lagos, waiting to board my connecting flight to Lagos. I had the computer with me, and they had the hotspots everywhere in the Dubai International. So I just checked, let me check my mail. The visas were there. I said, by that time, the time for my wife's flight had passed. It was August. You couldn't rebook that flight. Of course, as soon as I arrived, I went home to go and see my ailing father. Listen, it's one of the most difficult decisions I had to make. But when God said, don't worry, bank, I'll take, because all I did every day, I can still picture how I used to pray. I would kneel down, just grab the bed sheets like this. Say, God, please, what do I do? Help. You have a will in this situation. Listen, there are young women who went to school because one man wanted to marry them. While they were in school, they gave their life to Christ. And this guy is a certified, born, dead unbeliever. If you say no now, your father will behead you. Not to talk about your brothers that are waiting to cook you for dinner. Your mother has decided you're going to disgrace her. You want to disgrace me, this girl? Oh, you want to disgrace me? Those of you who have never been in such situations, it is easy to say that, as a child of God, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. You will just refuse and say no. You just say no. That's American preaching, you know. That's not real life. I know what they tell you. It is worse when you love the bobo. He's been so nice to you. You never saw a mobile phone in your life. He started it with a turaya. Okay. And the fellowship you go to, all the brothers there, all these referrals, they can't put 10 naira on top of each other that reach a particular level. Not, you know what I mean? You can put 10 naira up to a particular level, but it's where you will heap it. They are 10 naira when they heap it. Enough people pass their Bible size. They are the alternative husbands. Listen to me. The pressures of life does not justify disobedience. So don't forget that. I'm not justifying disobedience. You can give your father and mother as an excuse. You marry that unbeliever, you will suffer. The kind of suffering that you will think you are Jesus Christ. So you understand, the bank is not trying to give you excuse for doing things that are against God. No. I am giving you what? Solution. That kind of time. There are times you can't even reason with people. There are two groups of people that you can talk to. There are these ones that say, he didn't say you shouldn't go to church. You know, the goats that want you to die and go to hell. Mm-hmm. And there are the sheep that go with you to church that don't have more sense than sheep. Or they are not in your situation, no. Be careful.
Be careful. If you disobey God, you will just suffer. They are threatening you on top of the troubles inside your soul. Listen, there are few people, from my experience, that know how to handle such situations. I'm now giving you the solution. Just go home. Run to wherever you want to run to. Hide. No matter how long you want to hide. Don't call your father. Don't call him. Don't call anybody until you have prayed yourself into the will of God. You know what I get my point? It's not as if we don't know what God should do. We know. We just can't do it with him. Jesus knew that the cross was the perfect will. Did he not know? You think he went to the garden to find out? He knew beforehand that this cross is the perfect will. You think you can just wake up and say, God called you to ministry. You are working in a company where they are paying you 700,000 naira a month. And you feel like God says you should resign. You have a wife and 3 children and 1 on the way. Oh boy, Jesus did not have that kind of faith. Neither do you. So don't just pretend. What he knew to do is what we read from Hebrews chapter 4. He knew how to draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's what he knew how to do. Like I said, you can't increase the fold of the blessing except to do that obedience. No matter the pressure, disobedience is not justified. But the power to obey is what we are discussing. As long as you still have to, you'll be afraid to see your father, don't come out of that prayer zone. You are not ready. When you reach the door, when your father's face shows your face, you fear. Go back. Close the door again. Confess all the confessions you need to confess. In Jesus' name, I have the spirit of a sound mind. Confess it there. Get on your knees and say, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What do I say? Deliver me from the ordinance of scriptures that I can now marry an unbeliever? No! Do you understand my point? But how do I explain that I've eaten this man's money for the last 4 years? My parents have all agreed. They have done one small traditional engagement ceremony 6 years ago. You tell her the story. Why do I come out of this? However, no matter what it is, nevertheless, not your will, not my will, but yours be done. A time will come, listen to me, suddenly a kind of confidence will grip your soul. You will come out. You will go to the igwe of your village and cross your leg and say, it is written, you shall not be only calling you with an unbeliever. I cannot disobey God now because I want to please the society and please man. And he said, nothing will happen. I am working with. That is, you will look at it. In fact, people say that you are very careless. You don't even care about your parents. It's after abusing you on top of it. That's when you know Satan has been incarnated. At the end of the day, listen, anything that happens after that is called the will of God, which does not include marrying an unbeliever. Are you getting my point? What have I been teaching? Let me stop here so that we can take a few minutes to pray. This is the point. Without obedience, there's no increase in fold level. You understand my fold level? Every fold, extra fold you'll experience from 30 down to 6 to 100 is usually initiated by another act of obedience. Are you getting the point I'm making? Is usually initiated by another act of obedience. Those acts of obedience are hard sometimes. And that is where Jesus understood. To resist temptation, let me just advise you, don't criticize politicians who are in office. It is not easy. Do you hear what I said? And before you join politics, come to me for ordination. That's not supposed to be a joke. I will ordain you. I know what I'm saying. There's a spirit I'll put into you by the laying on of my hands that I'll be writing you about later, like Paul wrote to Timothy. Don't forget to stir up the spirit of obojuness that I place inside you to resist temptation, corruption, and nepotism. Do you understand my point? She says, yes, the day I laid hands on you, that was the spirit I put. No. Next convention. That's my own message. You know, I'm president of LOCAF now. My message is called the ordination of the church. Every believer needs ordination. It's not only preachers. You want to enter into politics, you need ordination. In fact, your oil in Nigeria is bigger. We should use a bigger jar of oil. If we use a bottle for these preachers, your own, you need bucket. To join PDP and survive, you need buckets. AC candidate Ogun State is dead. They buried him 2 days ago. Deep or dinner. You need the oil that will give you bulletproof vest. Yes, and it's available. It's available. It's called grace. Grace is released in the direction of your calling. It's available. If covetousness does not take you there, come, I pour a bottle of oil on you. Anybody that wants to kill you, his father will die first. His mother who supports him, who is his money, will die next. He and his first son will die before you sneeze. It's called grace. It's called grace. If God sends you somewhere, he arms you. And you think you just go there and you go and use a boat, you'll be networking with crooks. I'm going to swear oath. Tell us, I know they swear oath. Sometimes you should be even rough. Tell them, say, anybody that won't vote for me will die. I mean primaries. You can say, all of you, they don't vote for me. All right. You think it's only unbelievers that know how to eat something? Which will they eat something? We have sacrifices that are eternally more dangerous. That, look, what do they kill to eat? They kill fowl. Goat. What is it? Cow. Or Alangba, that's lizard. Wait. They eat only corrupted and corruptible things. We eat the flesh. Jesus talked about the eating of my flesh and the drinking of my blood. Think I can drink blood? Me too, I don't drink blood. Your blood, the blood you drank is either of animal or of a corrupted human being. I drank the incorruptible, undefiled blood of Jesus Christ. Before I die, everybody in your generation will have died if they didn't repent. Oh my God. I mean, what was I saying before I went into politics? Oh, what was I saying? Please, now remind me now. Yeah, don't forget to. This is a joke. Before ordination, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I'll start the message there if you can't remember. Let's just, anytime, don't go anyway. The Lord is good. Exactly. Yes, yes. Thank you. That the boldness, thank you. Boldness enters you. When Jesus, by the time Jesus left the garden, this issue of nevertheless, not my will, yours be done, it don't pass that time. That time was like, who are you looking for? That was the time. He said, it's Jesus. Son of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, it is I. It was not an easy deal. People wanted to defend him. He said, relax, relax, relax. If I wanted legions to come and start doing this warfare, all I need to do is just pop my finger and they show. Said, Peter, relax, relax. And like I always say, go and watch Mel Gibson as we were beating him. All that shouting at Mel Gibson. The real Jesus Christ, he didn't feel the pain again. That's my own belief. I've studied enough to know what I'm saying is not a joke. So that one, I beat him, make him bleed. In the garden, who touch him? He begin bleed. That's real suffering. Go on, if those of you who study science, medicine, you will know that pain, the most grievous part of pain is the side of pain has two components. Like if you enjoy your leg, the pain is paining you, but there's a pain reflex, there's a pain component in your brain. Do you understand my point? That is the one that's really grievous. And the most potent painkillers, they don't act on the leg, they act on the brain. What am I saying? In the soul of Jesus, the pain was so grievous, his vessels broke physically. By the time he entered, all that beating they were doing, by that time, everything had been settled. I am not saying when you refuse, the whole village will now support you. No, no. Did I say that? They will still disown you. But this time around, you are not afraid. This time around, you are not afraid. I was writing just now, because I'm back to writing. God gave me anointing today. Most of today, what I did was write this morning. I felt so good about it. Among the things I wrote there, I pointed out to believers that in Philippians chapter 4, we like to quote, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Therefore, I can marry a fine husband through Christ that strengthens me. Therefore, I can marry a fine wife through Christ that strengthens me. I can get a good job through Christ that strengthens me. I can become very rich. That was not what Paul said. Paul said that when I don't have anything, nothing spoil. If I have too much, I don't go crazy. Why? I can endure affliction. I can endure prosperity through Christ that strengthens me. So when you are rejected and you are beaten, I can endure the pain through Christ that strengthens me. And with that, the endurance of the pain, that extra fold in the release of the fruit in the word of God will not be manifested to you. Do you get my point? That's what believers do in the time of trouble. Listen, we will face, let me summarize everything. We will face challenges in life. Did I hear an amen? That's part of life. I was writing in that book. I said, I was quoting Charles Stanley, who said Christians now think that Christianity is about blessing. That no, Christianity is about sacrifice. That is it. So Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. So it happens. In the course of our righteous walk, it will happen. There are times you have to make decisions to turn. Look, you have built a career here. One day God just said, yeah, enough, you know. Instead of running away in disobedience or using the obodu to obey and then losing all the reward afterwards, just pause, return, and pray. And that's, oh my God. I was going to talk about the important things about prayer. All right? This is number one. The second one is the one of asking for your friend that came at midnight. All right? But Paul said that we are ready to avenge all disobedience after your own obedience is complete. I brought that one up to bring out an issue. That first, the place prayer starts is to finalize your own obedience. And I said life is in stages. All right? And what is light to you today is darkness tomorrow. I look back at some of the things we believe those days in the elementary days of the Word of Faith. And I almost wonder, why did we believe them? But no, they were not wrong. It's just that now I have so much extra light. It looks like darkness. And as new light shines, it reveals to you parts of you. And you see, your life has its own pace. Are you getting my point? There are decisions you have to take now, all right, that other people can't get the point. You are comfortable. Everything is okay. Why are you stopping this and trying to start that? Listen, let's even leave the area that looks like we are losing some things. There are times in which, let's assume you're a businessman, God wants to take you from one level into another one. And like I always say, those levels, those points really appear like points of death. What did I call them? It appears like if I perish, I perish. As if you are going to perish. Again, don't face such things if your heart to be trembling. I went to make a decision some time ago. What I was discussing with Rocket. That thing. I said, Rocket, this is what I'm discussing with you. I said, when I make my decision and I have to do a thing, I don't want events later to make me feel bad. Are you getting my point? They could go to the left or go to the right. But let it be that when I was making the decision, all right, I knew exactly what to do. Because we think that every time we do what is right before God, we always get breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. There are some times that obedience brings you nothing but breakdown. Outwardly speaking. It's called temporal loss that makes for eternal gain. Are you getting my point? So sometimes God wants to change you, maybe in your career and your business, to move from one point to another. Maybe you are walking in a particular place. Everybody's going up. You are climbing up. Then another thing opens. Or God said, go and open something else. Here you are earning like 250,000 naira a month. When you go and start that for the first 1 year, if you see 40,000 in a month, you will give praise. Are you getting the point? But this is the interesting thing. Let me tell you about this, children of God. If you stay where it is 250K a month, you become a very big manager. They make you $2 million a month. In fact, one day you get to 5 million naira every month. That's a lot of money, right? Yeah, that's called poverty mentality because you think that is a lot of money. I don't know what I get. What I going to explain. God said, if you will leave and go to the 40K a month for some time, I'll give you 10 years, 15 years. The time will come. When you will be approving bonuses at the end of the year for your managers, and it's 25 million here, 10 million there, 16 million there, and that's you approving what? Bonuses. That for the amount of wealth I will pass into your hands, you won't know how to calculate income. But then, look, I keep on saying that. A lot of people have, you know, I told you before, tenfold is very common, and a lot of celebrations we celebrate as breakthrough is fivefold victory. And God is saying that I want to bring these guys up to, let's even start with 30-fold. They are afraid. But this is my message. At that point in which you need to make a decision that will set you on the course for 30-fold, it's a point of death. At such times, please don't use Ogboju. What did I say? That is what prayer and fasting for. All this prayer and fasting against your enemy. You are the one that will die first, not the enemies. Because, look, quote me. If you fast and pray too much about enemies, now you go die first. You know why? Because the fasting and praying will not do anything about them. So you will fast some more and pray some more. So finally, you will just disappear. Boom, one day. Because of lack of nutrient. Who wants to die before his enemy? What's the point I'm making? Forget the enemy. This is what prayer and fasting is for. This is a prayer of fasting that will liberate you into victory. You have to make a decision, and it looks like you have to make it between now and day after tomorrow. Those are the times you don't sleep between now and day after tomorrow. Those are the times you don't eat between now and day after tomorrow. It is not when your enemies are coming. Forget the enemies. They can't do you nothing. All the witches in Nigeria gathered together against only me. Can't win. That's not supposed to be a joke. All the witches in Nigeria gather together and say, our mission for the year 2010, we shall defeat Pastor Banky and kill him. In fact, you just said obituary go full newspaper attire. One witch and wizard after will be dying. And the interesting part, I won't know. I won't even know about it. Listen, brethren, they won't keep me awake at night. But obedience to the will of God, when it becomes a matter of struggle, brethren, you're supposed to stay awake. You're supposed not chop. These are the times, it's not you say, I'm fasting, and you're going on marketing from one office to the other. Good morning, and you're fasting. You never begin fast. You're starving. You're watching your weight. Real fasting, brethren, you can't be going out marketing. You will take leave by force. You will stay in one corner and you won't come out until your obedience is what? Complete. I hope you've gotten my point. Just for a few seconds, just pray meanwhile and say, Father, each person knows his own thing. You know where your decisions lie that you have to make. You know where obedience is difficult for you. Let's just initiate that prayer now. You continue it at home. Say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. These are the issues. I approach unto you now, the throne of grace, your throne of grace. Give me mercy. Show mercy unto me. Revive me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. That obedience to your word will be my strength, will be the outcome of this prayer. Obedience to your will. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I commit my whole life to you again. I am not satisfied with tenfold. Not with 20-fold, not with 30, not with 60. Lord, but my eyes are set on 100-fold. And 100-fold comes from 100-fold obedience. From 100-fold obedience comes from 100-fold mercy. Grace. 100-fold mercy. 100-fold grace, which is only found in the place of 100-fold prayer and holding on to the word of God. Say, Lord, I hold on to the horns of the altar. Lord, I hold on to you. I reject everything that's of my flesh. I reject everything that's of my society. I reject everything else but the knowledge of you alone. Give me the strength that I might obey you. Ezekiel said, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. Lord, let that be our testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is